Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all.
I want to call your attention to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, chapter 8. And I want us to look at verse 11 as our starting scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. And may we stand in honor of the word of the Lord as we read this text. And the word says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." And for just a little while, God bless you, you may be seated. I want to speak from what seems to be the spirit of the people that Moses was dealing with at this time, that seems to be prevalent among many believers today. And that is, what do I have to be thankful for? What do I have to be thankful for? Moses is reminding the children of Israel, because he senses in their midst a spirit of unappreciation, of ingratitude, of unthankfulness. He sees that they are not truly sincere in their worship to God, in their desire to be what God has called them to be. He sees that everything about them is all but real. And he's reminding them as he watches them and he looks at them and he sees some faking and some pretending, some putting on and some masquerading, others covering up and some disguising, but he sees an unreal spirit of thankfulness among the people. And so he's reminding them that no matter where you are and what you're in and what's happening around you, don't forget to be thankful. You see, the Word of God makes clear to us that when we are thankful to God, when we praise God for the things he has done for us, that we show a heart of thanksgiving. We show a spirit of gratitude. It helps us to understand that we are truly and sincerely thankful to God when he doesn't have to remind us and or beg us to say thank you to him. This has been a problem with the Hebrews, the people of God, from the beginning. It was just so much so that God had blessed them, and out of the midst of that, they were unthankful. You remember when God delivered them from Egypt, and they got down by the Red Sea. They at all the time had been for 430 years crying out to God, "Deliver us, God, deliver us." God sends a man, prepares him, and sends him to the house of Pharaoh and tells him that God said, "Let my people go." He then, after persuading him by the power of God to release the people of God, in just a moment of joy, after finding out that the way is not always going to be easy, got down to the Red Sea and said, "Have you brought us here to kill us?" You could have left us alone. We could have done better locked up and bound up where we were. We liked it like we had it when it got to the point where they had to stand up for what they really believed. And so they were ungrateful. And then when you look at how God dealt with them all the way through the wilderness experience and how they murmured and complained and could not and would not be grateful, Moses brings back to their remembrance what the Lord has already done for them. And can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I think the only reason why God just continually reminds us not to forget about him is because we oftentimes do it. And can I tell you, when we most times do it, we do it not when things are bad. We do it not when times are challenging. We do it not when times are difficult for us, but we do it most times when the Lord has blessed us abundantly. Can I suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, why the Lord won't bless a whole lot of us better than he's blessing us right now? Because he knows if he lets some of us get more than we have right now, our souls might be in jeopardy. I'm here to tell you, God doesn't give you more than you can handle because he don't want you to mess up what you already have with him. And listen, the Bible makes clear, if you're faithful in a few things, God will make you ruler over many things, because if you learn how to be thankful and grateful with the little that you got, with the blessings that God has given you, with the gifts that God has already given to you, if you learn how to be faithful in those things, if you learn how to take the small tasks, the menial tasks, the little bitty things, and do them well, God will start giving you bigger tasks and more responsibility, because he knows you have learned and graduated and are going to handle those larger things as well as you handled the little things. Sometimes God gives us little things just to test us. Yeah, because if he realizes that's beneath your power and your ability, but you take that with the utmost of respect and responsibility and handle that the way that God intends for you to handle it, he says now he or she is ready to take on more. Sometimes he does that also to let us see we ain't ready. Y'all ought to hear me here. If you are not using what you already have, what sense does it make for God to give you any more? Well, Lord, I want to be used over here in this ministry. Are you used in the ministry he's already given to you? Everybody has a prayer ministry, because the Bible says we ought to pray one for another. Everybody ought to be able to talk to God, fellowship with God, minister to God, pray for your brothers and sisters. Are you doing that? You can't serve man till you understand that you got to have a heart for God and for man. And if you ain't even taking out the time in your daily prayer to say, Lord, bless my brothers and my sisters. Lord, do this for this, that. Well, then God knows your heart isn't real. He knows you don't really want to help. He knows you just want to be in the spotlight. So a whole lot of us don't understand, if we're not faithful with the little bit that we have, God will not bless us with more. Look at what Moses does. And I like this. Go back to the first verse of the 8th chapter. And the Bible says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may what?
Live.
Now listen at this. Now, not get by, not exist, not just make it, but God wants us to live. That means to walk, talk, move, breathe, and flow in the blessings and the abundance of God. Well, I'm going to show you, because the next two words says, and multiply. Listen, when you really live, you multiply. God gives you this, and God takes that he has given to you, blesses you with it. And when you are faithful with that, he takes that little and multiplies that. Then it says, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2, and thou shalt what? Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, historically, we know this word is for the Jews, the Hebrews, those whom God had led out of captivity. But pragmatically speaking, this word is still relevant and prevalent for the people of God today. Can I not ask you, has not God blessed you? Has not God led you out of the house of bondage? It may not have been Egypt, but you had an Egypt experience. that the Lord has led you out? Haven't you been in a wilderness experience after you got out of Egypt and God led you for a long time through your bewildering situations? This may historically be for the Hebrews, but you need to know that what he has given to them, it is also a reality for us. Look at this. Listen, the only reason why the Bible says that he did these, led these 40 years in the wilderness, the rest of the verse says what? To humble thee. Now, I can spend the rest of my message time on this. But listen at what God is doing, Moses is saying. To humble thee and to prove, and that word prove means test thee. To know what was in thine. You see, God wants you to praise him for what he's done. Whatever, be it little, be it great, God wants you to praise him. Now let me tell you what God will do. When you truly praise him from underneath the skin and not just with the mind, God will allow you to be tested. You don't believe it, all you got to do is read the book of Job. The devil heard Job praising God, giving God glory, worshiping and sacrificing daily to God, and God had put a hedge all around Job, and Job knew God from the inward parts. And the devil thought it was just from the mouth and the mind. Thought that just because God had blessed him, he was doing that for that reason. But can I tell you, if you know him, you can't help but love him. And it ain't no problem to worship him, whether times are good or sad. You know, it doesn't matter, because you know who it is that is able to keep you and deliver you. And so Job then was tested to see whether or not his praise was real. The devil said, it's right there. You take some time and read that. He said, if you take all of these things from me, he'll curse you to your face. Now, what is he saying? His praise ain't real. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. And you've got some folk like that, my brothers and sisters, who don't understand that if you use your mouth and your mind and don't use your heart, testing day is coming, and God will allow you to be tested, and sometime he will allow you to be lifted up and, like Job, knocked all the way down to humble you. Job was so humbled he cut his hair off his head and he went into sackcloth and ashes, and he bowed himself and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. You can't get more humble than that. And naked shall I return thither. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't need all of that to praise him. I don't need all that to glorify him. I don't need all that to worship him. He's moved all of these things from Job, and yet Job still praises and worships him. Tested him. And every now and then God allows things to happen in your life to humble you. And can I tell you, God is the only one who really knows when you get to that point where you need to be humble. Things you trusted in, were secure in. Sometimes God allows those things to build themselves a trench around you to make you feel comfortable, because you've taken your focus off of him. You've taken your eyes off of him. And then God will step in the picture and just remove his head. That's all he had to do for the devil to get to Job. Just remove the hedge, and he'll allow the enemy to come in and bring an humbling experience. I've known a whole lot of big folk that the Lord has humbled, and who are bigger now than God, now that he has humbled them, than they ever were when they were lifted up in pride. Because when you are humbled by the Lord, and you understand that in God's timing, and if you are in God's hand, when due season come, he will lift. See, sometime I want to get to where I'm trying to get to before God has said get there. And every now and then he's got to let the pedestal be. Oh, y'all ought to hear me here. Do you know why you ain't got that promotion yet? It ain't your time. Do you know why the doors for that thing you want ain't been open? Because it ain't your time. Do you know when God gets ready, he can knock the enemy out the way, every obstacle out the way, every problem out the way. And when it don't seem like you can make it, he will put you right there. Yeah, he can do that. I'm a witness. Listen to what he says. He says, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what is was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no, or not. Verse 3 says, and he humbled thee. Can you say in your life, he's humbled you? Somebody say, preacher, he ain't just humbled me once, but he humbled me twice, three times, four times, five times. Amen. I mean, as many times as he need to, I want him to humble me. Because if you are humble, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that God is in charge and in control, and he will never, ever suffer you to be lost or moved when you are humbled. Listen to what the word says. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Now, he suffered them to hunger so that they could refocus and recognize that he is their source. Sometimes that place that you think your blessings are coming from is not where they're coming from, it's where they're coming through. And so the difference between through and from is what God has to allow you to suffer to get straight. So see, where that job that you have and the finances that come, that's coming through there. It ain't coming from there. And you start worshiping that job and that position and that place like your blessings are coming from there instead of... I learned way back in Lowryville that folk can set your salary, but they can't dictate your income. And see, what I'm trying to help you to understand is if you know where your blessings come from, God's got so many channels that he can let them come. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. And just know where they come from, and while you're still asking, he'll have somebody knocking. If you know where your blessings come from. So he suffered them to be hungry so he could feed them, listen, with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And then Moses reminds them in verse 4, thy raiment, your clothes, wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. He said, I just want to remind you how good he's been to you. Maybe you've forgotten where God's brought you from. And every now and then when we look at where we are, it's easy to forget where we come from. The Canton Spirituals used to sing a song, I come from a poor family. We didn't have much, but the Lord been good to me. Y'all know that song, don't you? We were raised in a shack, y'all. All we had were the clothes on our back, y'all. But the Lord, I know y'all ain't the Canton Spirituals, but you ought to be able to be a witness. Been good to you. He said, when we got a nickel, we had to spend a dime. But the Lord. Lord, I'm going to leave that alone because y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Listen, Moses is saying, look back at how good God's been. Now, when was the last time you bought anything that lasted 40 years? Uh-huh. Same shoes. Listen now. The children grew. The people grew. And the interesting thing about that was, at one point in time, I thought that when he said, listen again at what the Bible says, verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now, I thought, and one mindset was that they did not grow. Because you know, if you're a size, whatever the size is, and you eat and you grow, you know you're going to have to get a larger size. And then, you know, I mean, of course, this was divine bread. It was calorie free, I'm sure. So, you know, they ate all they wanted and they didn't have to worry about getting bigger. But there's another mindset that you've got to consider. The children were babies. And they grew from babies to adults. So now you got to know God didn't leave babies in toddler three, fours, and fives till they got grown. But what he did, the Bible says, the clothes didn't wax old. And if you look at the translation underneath it, is what he was saying was, the clothes grew with the people. Now, wouldn't you like to have some clothes that will grow? Do you know why their feet didn't swell? Because the shoes grew with. Yeah, you try and put your feet in some shoes that's too small and you'll see your foot will swell. But he made the shoe accommodate the growing foot. So for 40 years, they didn't have to worry about shoes, not clothes on that. Don't tell me God ain't good. So let me remind you where God's brought you from. Listen at what he says. He says, verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Listen, as a father loves his son, he's going to correct him. He's going to do what is necessary to make sure that he goes in the way that he ought to go. God is saying, I love you. And as a loving father, I have to whip you because I love you too much to let you have your own way. Listen at what he says. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a, say it, a good land. Listen at that. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Bible says, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Ain't no shortage. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Look at that now. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Listen at this now. Notice here, none of this stuff they worked for. None of this stuff they deserved. But God gave it to them. Gifts. Blessed them. And then God gave them everything that they could desire and said, you won't want for nothing. And haven't you found out that the folk who have the most times do the most complaining? Can I tell you that poor folk can learn how to make it work for them? You take a man who ain't used to nothing and ain't got much, he can take a dollar and stretch it so far till it hollers. And you got a man with $100 in his pocket and he talking about he ain't got no money. Waste, throw away, and misuse that because he don't know how to manage it. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, God said he would give them so much that they would not have a desire in that land at all. And then notice what he goes on to say. He says, after you've eaten, after you've gotten full, after you have received your blessings, he said, all I want you to do is bless me. Remember me. Listen at what the Bible says. Verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, you think about that every time God blesses you, you sit down and you eat and you are blessed. The Bible says, and has built goodly homes. You dwell in good homes and has dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy stocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy. Can I tell you, it's easier to forget him with more than it is to forget him with less. How do you say that, preacher? Because the less we have, the more we go to him. The more we need him, the more we depend on him. And then listen, the more we have, the less we depend on him, the less we need him, and the less we go to him. So that's why he, when he blesses those abundantly, it's because underneath the skin their convictions have been cemented and settled, and no matter how much they get, great or small, God knows they're going to be faithful to praise him and to worship him. So listen to what the word says again. It says, verse 15, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might, here it is again, humble thee, and that he might prove or test thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Do you know why God lets you go through things and humbles you now? So that he can greater bless you later. He pulls things from you now and take things now that will take you away from him, and clears your path and gives you a straight and direct view of him, so that he can better bless you later. The story of Job that I told you about, the reason why God allowed him to be humbled and tested was so at the end, the Bible said, he blessed him with twice as much in the end than he had in the beginning. Sometimes God's test is to prune us. It's to prepare us. It's to get us ready, because if we think we are blessed now, when God gets through with us, we think we're on High Street now. When God gets through with us, if we think we have what he says we have now, when he gets through with us, the end will be far better than the beginning. That's why I'm learning more and more in my life. When God is in the process of proving me, if he's doing what he's doing because he's testing me, if he's doing what he's doing because he wants to humble me, if he's doing what he wants to do, then Lord, have thine own way, because I know in the end I'm going to be better blessed than I am right now. I don't even get mad with the devil now about all the things that he's taking, because I read the other day that he's going to have to give back 7 times. Y'all ought to hear me here. And every now and then when I remember all those things and start feeling down in my spirit and sad in my spirit, the Holy Ghost brings back to my remembrance that if he destroyed what he's took, he's going to have to even replace that. You do know the devil destroyed Job's children, but God replace them. And what do you say? I'm just saying, no matter what the devil has done, God can redo it or undo it and make it better than it was. Lord, I just wish I had one witness before. Listen to what the Bible says. He says again, and I want you to see this, go back to, if you will, verse 17. And thou say in thy heart, my power. That's when you done truly forgot it. You think it's your edumacation. You think it's your connections, who you know. You think it's your resources and your ability. You think it's your conniving and your plotting and planning. You think it's your scheming and scheming. You think it's you who's doing it. My power. You know, you start getting that cocky attitude. You know, it's all about you. It's that air. Like, you sure enough can't touch. You handle folk like they ain't nobody. You talk down to folk like they aren't nobody. My power. Look at what he says. And the might of mine hand had gotten me. Ain't nobody gave me nothing. Now, that's the biggest lie anybody ever told. Because all of us have been given something by somebody, if we don't even recognize it came from the Lord. Somebody gave you a chance. Somebody gave you an opportunity. Somebody gave you a start. Somebody gave you confidence. Somebody gave you hope. Somebody gave you inspiration. Don't talk about ain't nobody gave you nothing. Biggity, 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 listen. My hand had gotten me this wealth.